The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's going to be a busy week for Chinese President Xi Jinping. He is set to visit Italy and France this week amid a European Union firestorm over the dangers of rapidly growing Chinese trade and investments. All of this is just right after he wrapped up about 11 days of meetings at the National People's Congress Assembly, as well as the National Committee of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. We've heard a slew of initiatives that have been announced, policies serving to strengthen domestic consumption and support high-quality growth. But the real question is, what does this all mean for Chinese markets? And more importantly, what does it mean for the rest of Asia? We'll recap some of the highlights of the MPC meetings with our guest, Ho Wei Fook, Chief Investment Officer at DBS Bank. Wei Fook, good morning.
Good morning.
This is your regular time going to work?
Oh, yeah. Certainly, yeah.
Yeah, I can see you're very relaxed, strolling on your way to work. Okay, stop by, come to the broadcast booth and help us out. A lot of analysts are saying this meeting, right, that happens this year comes at a time where President Xi Jinping is facing one of his most challenging years. For you, Wei Fook, what do you think was the main policy message coming out of this year? What's your quick overview?
Clearly, the government in China recognizes the headwinds to growth. And they have lowered the target to 6 to 6.5% for this year from 6.6% growth in 2018. DBS, we think China will grow at 6.2% this year. Now, to sustain that, the government has brought about many expansionary policies, okay, be it infrastructure spending, triple R cuts, be it corporate tax cuts, VAT tax cuts. So I think these are what I call policy tailwinds. And together with a market that is still very, very cheap, relatively speaking. So we are talking about a price-to-earnings ratio of between 11 to 12 times vis-a-vis US, which is 16 to 17 times. We think, therefore, that there is continued tailwind for the China share markets.
Let's walk through some of the big items that stood out. The biggest item, arguably, of course, save for Friday when it wrapped up the MPC meetings, China announcing a revised foreign investment law. We'll get to that in just a while. Here's basically what we know. This promises equal government support of to foreign and domestic firms, equal treatment when applying for licenses, and that foreign companies will be able to take part in setting industry standards and in government procurement. We also know that there is one caveat, that the government can conduct national security reviews where decisions are final. No appeals will be allowed on those. The law is set to take effect January 1st next year. So this new law has been received by many companies with a lot of caution. What is your take on it, Wei Fook?
Well, it is definitely a step up. And mm-hmm. I think clearly they are very serious in terms of wanting to seal this with a comprehensive trade deal with the US. And I think once we have that, and if we do see, for example, the lifting of existing tariffs, I think that is certainly a green light for the markets to continue to run ahead. Now, we have done between 15 to 20% year to date, which is tremendous. So it's not inconceivable. We'll have a period of consolidation. But certainly once we do see this comprehensive trade deal, if it happens, I think this rally can be sustained going into the year.
We're getting a NPC wrap or a bit of a recap with Chief Investment Officer of DBS, Ho Wei Fook. You mentioned tariffs early on, and that's always going to be in easing of tariffs is always going to be in the background. People want this to happen as soon as possible. How does this new foreign investment law play into the dynamics of this ongoing trade dispute between the US and China? Do you think it's going to ease tensions, or is it like what you said earlier on, we really got to kind of wait and see, wait for that transition?
Yeah, I think it does give comfort. Okay. The fact that they will be protecting intellectual properties, for example. I think that's the mainstay. So it's a good first start, you know, to this whole agreement that will be signed, hopefully, between President Trump and President Xi.
We've talked about this before. China setting a lower growth target for GDP, range of 6 to 6.5%. They have a grand plan to increase it by a certain amount, I believe by the year 2020. I can't remember what exactly is the amount, but do you think with this target, is it realistic to meet their long-term goals?
Yeah, I think so. Clearly, in the previous year's NPC, President Xi did talk about quality of growth, not just quantity of growth. Because when it was growing at double digits, for example, there were other issues, you know, like environmental problems, pollution problems. You've got housing bubbles. Mm. So I think these are things that they would like to avoid. And therefore, they have gone into this path of quality growth. And I think 6 to 6.5% is very, very decent if you compare that to US, for example. Clearly, you know, China is like growing 4 percentage points higher than that of US.
Okay, so realistic in terms of dealing with, or bearing in mind their current slowdown in economic growth, right? Let's dive into the specific sectors that have benefited. What are some of the sectors that have benefited from the announcements over the past 2 weeks?
Clearly, the domestic sector would do very well. And if you look at the Chinese market, most of it is domestic-oriented anyway. So in DBS, we continue to like the e-commerce sector. We think, just giving you an example, online shopping in China, it's actually the highest in the world, you know. As a penetration of total retail spending, it's 20% highest in the world. But it's only 20%.
Yeah.
So we are talking about a long runway for e-commerce stocks. We like financials that will benefit from all these stimulus policies. Banks are paying you 5 to 6% dividend yield. So you are paid to wait. And finally, we like the China A-share market because recently we have heard announcements about the MSCI raising the weight of China A-shares in their basket. So I think there will be this tailwind of capital, you know, more capital inflow into the China A market.
Yeah, all you need is more 10-10, 11-11, 12-12 type of days. Do you personally benefit from those special day shopping deals, or is it more of your wife doing it?
I think more of my wife.
Then you just collect the bill.
Well,
that's live. Speaking this morning with Ho Wei Fook, Chief Investment Officer at DBS, could you walk us through some of your thoughts on the tax cuts and changes on the social contributions front? Just a quick recap. There's value-added tax that was cut to 13% from 16% for the manufacturing sector, to 9% from 10% for the agriculture, transport, construction, retail and property sectors. Pension payout also reduced to 16% from 20%. I suppose the question is, what do you think is going to be the impact of all of this, and what are investors saying?
Clearly, these are policies that would stimulate, you know, the economy and to ensure that it doesn't go below 6%. And very, very positive, you know, for the stock markets, for financial markets in China as well as in Asia, because, you know, we do depend a lot on China's consumption as far as exports into China are concerned.
This morning, we're speaking with Ho Wei Fook, Chief Investment Officer at DBS Bank. We've touched on the National People's Congress in China earlier, and now Ryan Huang, our money man, will continue the conversation with Ho Wei Fook, Chief Investment Officer at DBS Bank.
And we are turning the conversation to the stock markets, and we'll be getting Wei Fook's view on where you should be putting your money now. So Wei Fook, let's reflect on the quarter so far across all the major markets. If you look at the US and China, we've been having quite a bit of a rally since the start of the year. How is this panning out to where you are looking at in the beginning of the year? You had a report that was titled Tug of War Between the Bulls and the Bears, and we can expect a highly volatile and non-trending market. Is this going according to your plan?
Yeah, certainly. Back in December, we saw a huge fallout in equity markets. Mm. We came out with a report to say that this is not the start of a bear market, even though we had had a 10-year bull market. We felt that it would continue to be really a tug of war, resulting or translating into a market that is non-trending, wide-ranging and volatile. And that panned out very beautifully because we had seen a V-shaped recovery. In fact, the first 2-3 months of this year, we have seen the rally, which kind of recovered most of the losses, not only in December, but in the fourth quarter. We think, you know, we will continue to be in this wide-ranging market for the global indices. But of course, within that kind of a market, there are also ample opportunities. So the way to really, you know, ensure that we capitalize on these ample opportunities is to barbell your portfolio. That's what we are telling our clients.
We'll get into that barbell strategy in just a bit. But first, Wei Fook, on China. You had this call on China last year, and it's been doing pretty well so far. It's up about 15 to 20%. So I'm going to talk to you about valuations, right? You mentioned China is about 11 to 12 times. US is about 16 times. So I look at Singapore, it's about 13 times. And like I mentioned, it's been up about 15 to 20%. How much more upside is there for Chinese shares for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think there will be some more upside on the basis that, you know, that there is this trade deal that's put in place. So we think really China is enjoying policy tailwinds and coupled with a very competitive and attractive valuation.
And what we heard from last week's National People's Congress as well?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the sound bites are truly positive for the markets.
And the MSCI inclusion of the A-shares, how much is that helping to boost the attractiveness of this market?
Yeah, the A-share would be the primary beneficiary of the MSCI reweighting. The beauty about the A-share, unlike the H-shares, is you do get sectors or companies that are not listed elsewhere. So there is a different, I would say, investment, exposure that you could get through the A-share. And I think that will truly attract more and more capital over the long term.
Well, your name is Ho Wei Fook. He is the Chief Investment Officer at DBS Bank. So Wei Fook, I know you like China, Chinese markets, and you like Chinese financials, China technology and A-shares. Can we extrapolate this to back home? We have S-chips. Do you share the same conviction to Singapore-listed Chinese shares?
Yeah, I think how we are advising our clients is really to buy into liquid big-cap stocks. So I think the S-chip do not kind of fit into that universe that we are covering. Singapore has attractive sectors, you know. For example, REITs, banking stocks, they pay you between 5 to 6% dividend yield. We think that that is a good area to be invested in.
And Wei Fook, you have this thing called a barbell strategy. Was it something you thought of when you were at a gym?
Yeah, barbell, it's the way we construct portfolios in a market that is volatile, non-trending, wide-ranging. A barbell portfolio would normally outperform.
You know, the so if I visualize it, you underlying have two big things at extreme ends.
Yes. So at one end, we would like to have stable income-generating assets like corporate bonds, diversified pool of double B, triple B bonds that gives you about 6%. We like REITs, Singapore REITs. And on the other extreme end, we like to buy into investments that are in a secular growth trend. For example, we like the digital aspects of it. We like e-commerce, we like China A-shares, we like things or the millennial consumption trend, where there are companies that really benefit from, the millennials spending. And I mean, this is really a very, very interesting dynamic that's taking place. If you look at the number of millennials in China today, they are more than the population of the US. And guess what? The millennials in China has a lot of spending power. They are bankrolled by their parents-in-law, grandparents-in-law. So you want to be in this.
I'm thinking about the kids going to Starbucks every day or ordering a $7 exactly. coffee.
Exactly, yeah.
So this barbell strategy, essentially you're diversifying across the risk spectrum. So heavyweight on one side with the more riskier stuff, and then you have the fixed income and passive income on the other side. Is that the way to look at it?
Yes, so you want to skew your investments to both sides of the risk spectrum.
Okay, and just to wrap things up, Wei Fook, you have this idea as well, how you can tap the live, work and play transition to get some stock ideas. What is that about?
Yeah, that is about the world transitioning into a digital economy. So platform companies would do very well. And really, the world is shifting from wanting to own assets to sharing assets. And who are the beneficiaries of that trend? It's the platform, digital platform companies.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We've been speaking this morning to Ho Wei Fook, Chief Investment Officer at DBS Bank. Once again, Money FM 89.3 is broadcasting live from Asia Square, Tower 1, The Cube, today till 7 p.m.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.